Well, I want to invite you to grab your copy of God's Word this morning. Join me once again in Colossians chapter 3 as we look together at verses 18 and verse 19 this morning, a message entitled, A Word to Wives and Husbands. December 18 of this year, my wife and I, Janie, will celebrate 20 years of marriage. 2 decades of marriage. The greatest decision that I made in my life, first and foremost, was to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. The second greatest decision that I made in my life was to marry my wife, Janie. You may be wondering what the third, that is to be a Georgia Bulldog. Amen, right? There we go. But here's the thing. I come to you this morning as we look at God's Word, not to say with almost 2 decades of marriage under our belt that I come in as an expert this morning. That would be far from the truth. I come in this morning as a fellow traveler. If you are married, whether that has been 1 year or you are pushing 60 plus years, which I know we have some in our church family who are there, the reality is we all need to hear from God's Word as it comes to this issue of marriage. We began last week a series looking at relationships. What does it look like for us to be, as followers of Jesus, engaged in relationship? First and foremost, our relationship with the Lord. But then, as we look around us, our relationship with our spouse, our relationship with our kids, our relationship with those in this world in which we live, how do we, as followers of Jesus, live in relationships that God has given us? And so this morning, we're going to look at the relationship of marriage. And as we do that, join me in Colossians chapter 3, looking at verses 18 and verse 19. This is God's Word. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Father, we ask this morning that you would open our eyes that we would be able to see, that you would open our ears that we would be able to hear, and that you would open our hearts and our minds that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit. We ask all of this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. If you're taking notes this morning, which I encourage you to do in your handout or in a notebook, you can write down this main idea. It will frame our time together as we consider these two verses. It's this truth: falling in love is easy. Building a thriving, God-glorifying marriage takes a lot of hard work. And all the married couples in here said, amen. Falling in love is easy, but building a thriving, God-glorifying marriage takes a lot of work. I want to lay out for us this morning, as we prepare to look at these verses together, some others that we'll engage with this morning from God's Word. Let me lay out for us, though, some foundational principles that we must understand first and foremost. Number one, God designed marriage and graciously gave us guidance for how it best works. Here's what we have to understand at the beginning, is that God is the creator of marriage. He designed marriage. He brought Adam and Eve together in the garden. God designed it to be a one man, one woman, lifetime covenant relationship. That is God's design for marriage. And not only did God design it, God, through His Word, graciously gave us guidance for how marriage works, how we should engage in the marriage relationship. So you see the image there of a car manual. The designers, the builders of automobiles, put in each automobile before it leaves the factory a manual. And that manual tells you how that vehicle is supposed to operate. Here's what is often the problem. We don't ever open the manual. You ever notice that in your own life? You probably don't even know if it's in your glove box still, do you? And yet, also, if we're not careful, we will not open God's Word and ask, what does it have to say in our marriage relationship? How do we engage in this relationship? What does it look like, and how should we participate? Number two, the health of our marriages will be directly tied to the health of our relationship with God. We began last week in this series on relationships, talking about our relationship with God. And the reality is, our health in our marriage relationship will ultimately be tied to the health of our relationship with God. You'll see an image that I use in premarriage counseling or in marriage counseling often with couples to try to help make them understand this reality. You'll see there at both corners, husband and wife, and at the top is God. The reality is they're not just two people in the marriage relationship. There are three. God is engaged in this relationship. We have made a covenant commitment not only to our spouse, but also to the Lord. And the reality is, for us, if we want to grow closer to our spouse, we must first grow closer in our relationship with the Lord. And here's what's interesting. If you notice the triangle there, at each of those corners, the closer the husband and wife grow in their relationship with the Lord, guess what? The closer they grow in relationship with one another as well. The health of our marriages will be directly tied to the health of our relationship with God. Here's number three. We must approach this discussion with humility. We must approach this discussion with humility, because here's the danger, and I'll read this quote here in just a little bit. The danger this morning, if you are married, is to sit here and think, my spouse really needs to hear this. They really need to hear what Pastor Michael and God's Word says. I want you to listen to this quote. Dave Harvey wrote, "Humility is essential to a marriage that endures. A humble acceptance, listen, of our own responsibility, an ongoing awareness of our culpability as sinners, makes us more self-suspicious instead of spouse-suspicious. And it helps us to daily depend on God's amazing grace and sufficiency instead of our own." Listen to me this morning. You may come in today and your primary thought is, if my spouse could get their act together, we'd have a great marriage. And can I challenge you this morning to first look in the mirror and ask, what do I bring to the table? Begin there and allow the Lord to work in your spouse's life in this moment. Here's number four. God's design for marriage impacts every follower of Jesus. Now, here's the thing. God's Word tells us that marriage functions like a billboard in this world, that our marriages are a billboard to the world around us of the gospel message of Jesus Christ's love for His church. So you may come in and you think in this moment, well, I'm not married. And so this message has nothing to do with me. Let me scroll Facebook and not worry about what's going on. But here's what you have to understand. You need to dial into this message because at the forefront and at the core, what this is reminding us of is the relationship that Jesus has with his church. And if you are a follower of Jesus, that is Jesus's relationship with you is what we're going to see on display this morning. His incredible love that is self-sacrificing for you. So tune in as we continue to walk through this morning. So let's begin in verse 18 of Colossians chapter 3. Let's have a conversation. This is a word to wives, first and foremost. Ladies, we're going to serve you this morning first, as we should, right? And that's exactly what we see Paul do. And I want to call your attention this morning to recognize in verse 18, there's not a lot there. It simply says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And so I think it would be helpful for us, you'll see on the screen this morning, we're going to expand as well. There's three primary passages that talk about the relationship between a wife and her husband, between a husband and his wife. You find those in Colossians chapter 3, what we just read. You'll see this in Ephesians chapter 5, and then again in 1 Peter chapter 3. So Paul and Peter both speak to the issue of marriage. Paul here doesn't give us a lot of meat on the bones. It's very concise, very direct. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Here's the good news. Paul expands this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through verse 24. You'll see that on the far screen this morning. Listen to what Paul writes. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Look with me now at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. You'll see that on the screen on your right this morning. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. You know, it's interesting, as you look at each of these passages, there's a word that sticks out in all of them. It's the admonition that the Lord gives to wives, and that word is, and it's a dirty word in our culture, I understand that, but the word is submit. Do you see that there in not only Ephesians chapter 5, not only in Colossians chapter 3, but also in 1 Peter chapter 3 as well? This is the word that is given to wives. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. So let's talk first about the perspective that we have to take as we think about this. First and foremost, God's way is the only way to thrive in my marriage. Wives, grab a hold of this truth this morning. God's way is the only way to thrive in my marriage. God designed marriage. God knows how it should function. God knows how you can thrive in your marriage relationship. Wives, God has given to you in His Word this truth. Now, here's what I know. Here's what you know. This is not a word we like. None of us wants to submit to anybody or to anything. I mean, you get a gym membership and they give you a workout plan. You think, I'm not doing that. And that's the reason you look the same way you looked before, right? To be honest with each other, that's the reality of it. So here is what you have to understand. When God says in his word to wives to submit to their husbands, notice that God is not saying you are less than your husband, therefore you submit to him. That's not what God is saying at all. In fact, Scripture is crystal clear that wives and husbands before the Lord have equal status in terms of they are both created by God. And if they're followers of Jesus, they have both been redeemed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So their status before God is equal. Your wife, husbands, listen, is not less than you. But God does say that there's a different role that wives are to fulfill in the marriage relationships. In fact, this is a word that is used often by God when he speaks of ordered relationships in this world in which we live. In fact, this is the word that is used about Jesus with his Father. That he was willing to submit to the will of the Father. Not my will, but your will be done. And he goes to the cross for us. It's the same word that's used when it talks about the relationship with kids and parents. That children are to submit to their parents in the Lord. It's the same word that's used for us as we think about the government that is in authority over us. This is a picture that God often paints for us when it talks about ordered relationships. And the marriage relationship is, according to God's word, an ordered relationship. How does that function in real life? We see it most evident in Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve in the garden, Eve first takes of the fruit and eats it, gives to her husband who is with her, he eats of it. They both sin in that moment, and what we see taking place is God comes to them to engage in a conversation. What did you do? But notice, God comes first, not to Eve who sinned first, God comes first to Adam. Why? Because of the ordered relationship that marriage is. Adam has primary responsibility to lead his wife well. And he failed miserably in that. So wives, you are not less than, but God has designed marriage for your husband to lead in the marriage relationship. Now let's ask the question, how does this work practically, right? So that's the perspective that wives should take, but how practically should this work out in real life? Well, let me say this. First, joyfully support your husband as he leads. Joyfully support your husband as he leads. Encourage him, praise him, respect him, honor him as he is fulfilling the role that God has placed him in your marriage to fulfill. Wives, you have an incredible opportunity to do this with your husband. You may say, well, what if he doesn't lead, Pastor? We'll get there in just a second. Hold on. Let me make this second statement, though. Think about this practically. Wisely discern between biblical submission and abuse. Now, you need to hear this. And I wish that I did not have to say this. And yet, here's what I know. The world in which we lived is a broken, sin-tainted world. Abuse in marriage is never okay. Whether that is physical abuse, whether that is spiritual abuse, whether that is sexual abuse, whether that is emotional abuse, abuse is never okay. And so wives, let me say to you, if you are in an abusive marriage, please reach out for help. And husbands, if you are abusing your wife, recognize this morning you are sinning not only against her, but against the Lord as well. So wisely discern the difference between biblical submission, which God outlines in His Word, and abuse. Wives, you are not a doormat that exists for the use and abuse of your husband. It's not the role that God has called you to play. Here's the third thing as we think about practice, how this works out in marriage. Wives, patiently wait as the Lord works. Patiently wait as the Lord works. This is a conversation that I often hear from wives in a counseling context, is this: my husband just won't lead. He won't lead spiritually in our relationship. And in that moment, there is discouragement surrounding that. And can I encourage you? Yes, his responsibility is to lead. His responsibility is to guide. But be patient as the Lord is at work in your husband's life. Watch this, as Peter tells us here, through the example of you following Jesus in your life. And I know this is hard. And I've had conversations with wives who have been seeking to do this for years and years and praying for their husbands who have still not come to faith in Jesus, or praying for their husbands who still will not lead spiritually in their relationship. And can I encourage you, just keep trusting the Lord. Doesn't mean that it's all going to be better, but take the perspective that it is much better for the Lord to work in your husband's life than you to try to make him do what you want to do. And as we think about all of this practically, we desperately, wives, you desperately need the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. You cannot, in your own strength and your own power, accomplish this by yourself. You desperately need the work of the Holy Spirit of God to enable you to do what God's Word has called you to do. And here's the good news. He promises to provide you exactly what you need. Now a word to husbands. Wives, take a breath. Husbands, this is your moment. Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Again, Paul here in Colossians 3 gives us just a small bite of this conversation. And so let's expand. Let's look this morning at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 33. Paul writes there, husbands, love your wives. Watch this, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Look at the screen on your right, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Once again, let's take stock of the perspective, husbands, that we should have as it comes to what God's word says to us in our marriage relationship. Let's remind ourselves this morning that God's way is the only way to thrive in my marriage. Husbands, that is the truth for your wife, and that is the truth for you this morning as well. And notice that in each of these passages, the Lord, through His Word, says to husbands that we should have a self-sacrificing love for our wife. You say, well, what type of love is that? It's, as Paul says, the type of love that Jesus demonstrated towards His church. That Jesus was willing to lay His life down to redeem, to rescue sinners, that was a self-sacrificing love. That, husbands, is the love that you and I are to demonstrate to our wife. Now, if you think about that deeply, the bar is set incredibly high. Let me just say to you this morning, if you're not a follower of Jesus and you want to know this morning what type of love God has towards you, it is the type of love that is spoken of in these verses. That Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, loved you so much that He stepped foot out of heaven, came to this earth, willingly took on sin that He did not deserve, and laid His life down, the only innocent person who paid the debt for your sin and for my sin. That is the type of love God has demonstrated to you. If you're not married, you are not thinking about marriage at this point, but you are a follower of Jesus, rejoice this morning that that is the type of love that God has given to you in Christ. So husbands, how do we practically love our wives like this? Well, number one, willingly lay down your life for your wife. That doesn't mean just saying with your words, well, I would take a bullet for you. It means actually demonstrating with your actions that reality. Husbands, we are to love our wives. My granddad, I loved him. He taught me a lot of really good things, but he also had some pretty dumb things that he said in life as well. One of the things that he used to say, and I can't ever remember a time that I heard him say to my grandmother, I love you. And I said something to him about that one time. I said, why don't you ever tell Nanny that you love her? He said, well, I told her when we got married. And if I change my mind, I'll let her know. Husbands, that's dumb. All right? Love your wife. And don't just communicate that. Demonstrate that with your actions. So what does that look like? Well, purposefully cherish, honor, and live in an understanding way with her. That's what God's word tells us that we are to do as husbands. That we are to study our wives. We're to understand what makes them tick, which is not an easy thing, wives. Just put that out there, right? But that's our responsibility. That's what we are to do. We are to pursue the heart of our wife, and we are to love her. We are to cherish her. We are to honor her. We should live with her in an understanding way. And lastly, intentionally, and I think this is so crucial, remember that your wife is your sister in Christ. In fact, that's exactly what we are told that we have to understand and recognize. We have to see that our wife, who is a follower of Jesus, is our sister in Christ. And as a result of her being a joint heir with Christ, we are to respond in love towards her. And here's the thing, husbands, you can't do this in your own strength and your own power. Just like wives are desperately in need of the Holy Spirit of God at work in them to be able to do what God has called them to do, we too must have the Holy Spirit of God at work in our lives to help us love our wife like Christ loved the church. So as we close this morning, I want to do so by offering some practical steps that I want to encourage you to take this week in light of this message. The first, I want to encourage you, schedule some time this week to spend time one-on-one with the Lord in prayer, confession, and reflection. If you are a husband, you are a wife, take some time to look at these passages of Scripture in your time with the Lord over the course of this week and spend some time in prayer. Spend some time possibly in confession. Spend some time in reflection to what God has called you to do. Maybe you're not yet married, but you desire to be one day. Spend some time thinking through what God's Word has to say about what your marriage relationship should look like one day. Number two, if you are married, schedule some time this week to spend with your spouse and discuss this message in your marriage. Some of you right now, your heart just sank and you're thinking, I don't want to do that. But you need to do that. You need to take some time this week to spend with your spouse and to talk about your marriage. And can I encourage you, the way to begin that conversation is not, Pastor Michael said you should be doing this. It needs to begin with, you know, God has been working on my heart in light of Sunday and in light of His Word. And I just want to say, here's where I think I'm probably dropping the ball. That's how the conversation should begin. And husbands, can I encourage you to lead that conversation? Here's number three, and identify a couple that is further down the road in this journey and ask them to invest in your marriage. Find someone who is down the road in this journey and ask them to invest in your marriage. Couples, if you are in your sixth decade of marriage, there are couples who are two decades in that need to hear from you. Number four, if your marriage is in trouble, and I have no doubt that there are marriages in this room that are in trouble, please reach out for help. Let us come alongside you, whether that's counseling by one of our pastors on staff or whether it's referred out. Seek help for your marriage. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so grateful for your word this morning. God, we are thankful as we think about marriage that the picture that is on the forefront of our mind and your word is the picture of Christ and His love for the church, us as believers. And God, may we in our marriages in this world be a billboard that points people to that reality. Father, if there are marriages in this room that are in trouble this morning, God, would you help them to reach out for help? God, would you work in each of us to help us see where we are not fulfilling the role that you've called us to fulfill in marriage. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, join us as we sing, closing out this morning. If you need to speak with someone, our pastors will be down front. If you just simply want to spend some time in prayer, our altar's open this morning. You respond as the Lord leads.